This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass on Joy 94.9.
Hey everyone, welcome to Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. I'm Christina.
I'm Anthony.
And I'm Ruby. Thanks welcome for joining
back.
Us, guys.
Welcome back, Christina.
Welcome back, Christina. It's so good to have you back.
I'm here. I'm queer.
Get used to it.
That's right.
Welcome back to all our listeners.
Yes, yeah. Thank you for joining us today. I hope you've had an awesome day today, just in spite of the weather.
Isn't it interesting? So it dropped, I think, it got to 38 on Monday.
Yeah, it was horrific.
And today it was 17 or 16, so it dropped 20 degrees.
Yeah.
Melbourne. Gotta love it.
Yeah. It's punishing weather when you're trying to get over a weekend, I say.
You and your
punishing.
Weekend.
Punishing.
Every time.
From the weekend.
It's Tuesday night, Anthony.
Yeah. Yeah, still haven't been home. Anyway.
But this weather thing, I was talking to my brother the other day because we're obviously both from Auckland, and in Auckland, like, it can go from sunshiny to torrential rain in about 5 seconds.
Yeah.
But the thing there is that at least the temperature stays the same consistently, whereas here in Melbourne, it's just like hot, 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 cold, cold.
This is a little unusual, though.
Like, this is quite unusual.
The jumps we're having in temperature are a little more extreme. Like, I'm used to jumps from, like, you know, 25 to 35 in a day, but not from 38 to 16.
Yeah.
Like, that's a pretty significant
drop. And climate change isn't a real thing?
Yes, look, you know, if I think about that too much, I'll cry.
Yeah, okay. So, none of that. Yeah.
It's a real thing. Talk to your friends. Talk about it. It's an actual thing. Thank you. Anyway, you know, it's interesting because it's a silence issue. I think it's actually, I saw an article on Think Progressive, which is a thing on Medium, which is basically talking about how LGBTI people know how to get past the silence. And that's what we need to do for climate change. This idea of, you know, we went from no one talked about it, you know, being queerness and gayness and everything that under that umbrella. No one talked about it. Everyone knew it was there, but no one talked about it. And we had to make those conversations happen. Now, it's the same thing with climate change. Apparently, the majority of Australians think it's an issue, but the majority of Australians don't talk about it with their friends or their family or anybody.
Do they think the ones who don't talk about it, is it because they don't believe it exists or is it because they don't know what to say?
No, it's because they believe it exists. Like, the majority of Australians do believe it's an issue. But I think when you know, you've heard things and you've talked about things and you've protested things and there's still nothing happening, after a certain amount of time, you start to feel like it's pretty hopeless.
Especially when we're dealing with those ugly, ugly wind turbines.
I think some people just want to know what to do in their day-to-day lives, like how to behave in a way in your daily lives to feel like you're actually contributing to making this better in some way.
And I think the issue is, of course, that there's not enough we can do in our daily lives. Like, it's actually going to take a... And I think, you know, people who are aware of it do try and make, you know, small changes to their daily lives. Like, but it's more just seeing the lack of action on a country basis, I think, which is very disheartening. You know, Victoria, you know, is doing... And then even, you know, South Australia has huge renewable energy targets, so does Queensland and so is Victoria, and the federal government's like, those are unrealistic. But of course, again, sorry guys, I'm getting a little political, but the thing
is... really?
Shocking, I know. So out of character. But the issue is, of course, that, you know, Australia has ratified the Paris Agreement. We have legal obligations to reduce our carbon emissions.
Was it Abbott or was it Turnbull that was making noises about, like, negating that?
Neither. A number of backbenchers, because the idea is, of course, Trump will pull out of the Paris Agreement, and Trump is the one who brought India to the board. Yeah. And India is a really important country to be involved in climate change action. To be fair, though, so is China, and China's doing a lot on their own. There are a lot of issues with a single-party system. One of the things they don't have is argument, so when they say we're going to do something, it actually happens.
Right. Yes.
You know, but the thing is, in Australia, we actually found out, I think a few months ago, that no one in the government had actually done any modelling to find out how we would meet these legal targets we'd agreed to.
Right.
So no one in the government has actually said, well, here's how we'll do it. They'd be like, yeah, we'll do it. And then, of course, so when the states try and rise and be like, okay, well, we need to do something, so we'll do something, the government's like, that's just ridiculous, guys. What do you think you're doing? And it's just, and I think that is really disheartening. You know, there was a huge climate march this year, thousands of people across Australia. Still nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
So what can we as bisexuals do?
Well, you know, we're very good at being vocal about our invisibility. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. You know, we are very much here, as is climate change.
Yeah.
It's not going away. Same as climate change. Talking about it helps. Same with climate change.
Yes. Yeah, and being informed, actually, with what you're saying, because I think, you know, as bisexuals, we do a lot of explaining. We talk about that often. And I guess the same will exist for climate change. You'd have to explain.
So.
You'd have to present a really strong argument, I'd say, because some people who just have made up their minds just won't believe it.
There's actually really interesting articles that break down the personality types of people who still deny climate change.
Oh, great.
Majority men. authoritarian leaning, low empathy. Like these are just more likely conservative.
So yes, yeah, psycho
we're not going down that direction. No. Because you know the issue is it's just more that again people who feel like it will not affect them personally. The reason that people are now doing so much research into finding out why climate deniers feel that way so that we can try and find ways to talk them around.
Mm.
But, you know, when you have someone like Malcolm Roberts, the One Nation Senator, you have one of the most esteemed scientists or popular scientists in the Western English-speaking world, talk to him and go through all the facts and all the graphs and the guy's still just like, nah. It does just feel just like, what can we actually say at this point?
How can I pull your head out of the sand?
But again, it's a similar thing. LGBTI people know about dealing with people who have very strict religious views.
Mm.
You know, at some points when you learn that there is no argument to be made, you find ways to get around. And we just need to be doing that.
We do.
Because, you know, we should not be following the states, despite what our government and Dutton and George Christensen are saying. We should not be following Trump. It's a disaster.
It is.
But it is time for our, speaking of disasters in the United States, it's time for our first song by the very bisexual Billy Armstrong.
Save us, Billy.
Save us, Billy. American Idiot coming up. This is a clean version.
You're on Joy.
You're on Joy 94.9. This is Triple Bypass, the bisexuality show. And I'm Ruby.
And I'm Anthony.
I'm Christina. Hi, how you going, peeps?
And we had a pretty intense discussion just before about climate change and moving past invisibility, something bisexuals are pretty darn good at.
Actually, it's our superpower.
It is.
Yeah.
Being visible when the world says no. Now, if you want to get involved, if you've got thoughts on climate change or invisibility or bisexuality or anything at all, you can message us at 0427JOY949. That's 0427569949. You can email us at onair@joy.org.au, and you can also message us with the Joy app available on iTunes or get to our Facebook page, Triple Bypass on Joy. We post cool stuff.
We do. Because we're cool.
We're very cool. And we're very good at explanations, aren't we? We're talking about that, getting around people's ignorance and trying to sort of are we trying to convince them? Are we trying to get them over the line? Is that what we're doing?
I don't know if it's about convincing. I think it's more about just explaining. Okay, this is the framework that we have to work with. If you can understand this framework, then you and I can be friends.
It's finding the point of relevance. I think it's finding even just one point where they can maybe empathize. Mm. So finding the bit where they can cross over. That's how I try and do it. It's like if someone who, you know, has no experience outside of the, you know, if they're only heterosexual, it's talking, you know, to find them about experiences where they felt uncomfortable in a space and just finding a bit where they have had some feeling that you can be like, yeah, okay, it's like that times 20 constantly.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Well, the thing that I usually say to people, particularly those who are immigrants to this country, is like when you've been here for a long time, you kind of, and you go home again, you don't feel like, I don't feel like a complete Kiwi when I'm at home because I've got really nothing to connect me to that place anymore. I've assimilated and my family at home is like, you sound like an Aussie. But I come over here and I say six and people go, oh, you sound like a Kiwi. It's kind of being stuck in the middle of these two kind of thing. And I was like, that's what it feels like. That's what being bisexual
right.
is.
Yes.
Actually, yeah. I had a really great chat with a woman who works with Muslims for Progressive Values for my show on The Informer yesterday.
Plug, people, plug.
Plug, plug, plug. And she was talking about how as a Muslim there can be issues with, you know, being queer and, like, you know, and also, or just even being religious and in queer spaces, and then being religious and, like, you know, and queer in religious spaces, and how you don't fit in either.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was just like, you mean like being bisexual?
Yeah.
And it, yeah, it's the same thing. It's basically, and I think, you know, and this is an issue I think across the queer community, but I think for bisexuals in particular, it's the issue of having to hide parts of yourself depending on where you are.
Yeah.
Or quieting parts of yourself depending on where you are. And just how crappy it makes you feel.
Mm.
And I think, though, you can find ways where almost everyone has had that experience. So if you can find their point where at some point they've had to feel like they've had to hide a part of who they are for due to fear or due to fear of being rejected, you can get them. If you can find that point, you can get them.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess it's really disappointing when, like, I had an example just recently where I was talking to a friend and I was talking about hooking up with women, and then this friend turned around and said, oh, come on, but you're gay. Come on, you're really gay,
still,
aren't you? And this is a friend that I've known for a couple of years, and I haven't really, in all fairness, I've got to say, I've only ever really presented myself as same-sex attracted to this particular friend, but I've never once described myself as anything other than bisexual. So I guess, I mean, I was trying to understand where they would have come from when they made that comment, but still, I mean, there's a lot of convincing involved, and it still happens.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a whole thing of, no, this is it. You know, it is real. It is real. I promise. Yeah. I promise it's real. I do actually feel this way. Well, actually, so fun news. I have gotten onto Tinder. I'm doing. It's fantastic for bisexuals because, you know, who do you want to talk to? Boys, girls, both. Done.
Right.
Yeah, you know, cool.
Of course. So you occasionally people, like, you know, we're just like, oh, so, you know, me and my partner are looking for it. It's like,
nah.
And okay, you know, and I was talking to someone and he was like, so are you bi? I was like, yeah. He's like, that's hot. And I was like, actually, I do a radio show. He's like, lol, are you serious? I was like, yeah, actually, I do a show about it because it's the sexuality within a minority group and it's a real thing. And if you're thinking about threesomes, you're like 20 steps ahead of where we are right now, bro.
Threesomes is like marriage. It's the commitment that it needs to take a few more than three
I thought it was so interesting that was his response. Like, just like, you know, you're bi, that's hot.
Mm,
I was
great.
Like, but why do you think it's hot? Do you think it's hot because you think, you know, what is it about me saying I'm bisexual is hot? Because is it because I hook up with women, but you think I hook up with women as well as dating guys? Is it that you think when I'm dating you, I will hook up with women for you?
Well, because what did he say?
I didn't say any of this. I was just like, and unmatched.
Okay. All right.
Because you can do that on Tinder. Okay.
Oh, you didn't find out.
Best thing about Tinder is, so I have gone on OkCupid and I've done that stuff. The thing with Tinder is that people can't message you unless you like them as well.
Ah, okay.
And at any point you can say, no, I don't want this person to message me anymore, and they can't message
sort
you
of
anymore.
Sort of mutual Tindering.
Yeah, so you have to both be interested for you to even be able to talk.
Okay.
And the issue I had with OkCupid was that, you know, you can set your age, you know, I want to talk to people between these ages. People do not have to respect that. They don't have to respect anything. You know,
that's retarded.
Don't like that word, but
sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. So, you know, and on OkCupid, they make you do all these surveys to try and get an idea of people who have similar values to you. But you'll get messages from someone who's like, you know, a 0% match, and it's like, hey, man, what do you think we have in common other than the fact that we all think I'm attractive? Let's be honest
right.
here.
Right. Good no, one.
Yeah. Well, it does get kind of like that. And like, you know, and I was actually on a date tonight, and it was very fun. He was late, but he had work and his shift went over time, and he was sending me like messages being like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. But I brought my 3DS, so I was playing Pokemon, so I was fine. And drinking a beer and having chips and salsa. It was great. I actually really enjoyed it. A nice little date with myself. One of the best dates you can have.
And did you tell him you're bi?
It's on my profile.
Oh,
I'm super bi.
Super bi.
I'm super bi.
Wow, fantastic.
And like, but you know, and it is interesting because if people have asked me about that or asked me about my radio programs, I'm always just like, you should listen to my show before you say anything.
Right. Right.
Because I was just thinking how nice it is to have the resource being like, listen to this, listen to us talk about the issues we have and see if any of the questions you're going to ask me are around those issues.
Yeah, so Mr. Tinder, who was late for the date tonight, we hope you're listening and learning.
He might get the podcast later.
You know, I've never used anything. I've never used Tinder, Blender. I've never used online
stuff.
Matching stuff. Yeah.
It actually scares me, to be honest.
My parents get pretty scared by it as well.
Not because I think of a safety thing. It's just like I'm putting myself out there. I don't like that.
Yeah, look.
But you're not.
Well.
You're putting a perception of yourself out.
Well, and you have control of the screening process.
Absolutely.
You want to see scary, jump on Grindr between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. on a weekend. Yeah. That's scary. There's some scary shit going on there.
I can imagine. I'm not sure if you guys have seen Broad City. But there was one point where the guy is like, you know, telling his friend who's bisexual, he's like, Grindr is for us. And then she starts crying. She goes, I just want to see the penises within a 5 mile radius. Oh, it's okay. I went too far. You can see the penises. It's okay.
Speaking about wanting to see the penises, we're about to go into a new song now. Our next song, Brave, Sarah Berry Ellis. And yeah, you're on Joy. You really are on Joy.
94.9.
Joy 94.9 on Triple Bypass. You're here with Anthony,
Christina,
and Ruby.
And we are talking about bisexual, all things bisexual. And I was actually talking about, you know, the things that people do and say in the spirit of being supportive of us and nurturing and affirming, yet biphobic. And, yeah. And I mean, that just might sound like an oxymoron, but
I think the big one is, that's hot.
Yes. My brother, my older brother, bless him if he's listening, a couple months after I came out to him, I was at his house and we were sitting on his couch watching TV, and he just sort of looks over at him and he says, so are you still bisexual? And I said to him, well, you know, it's not like the flu. It doesn't just go away.
No, it's herpes. It's with you forever.
It is. It is.
And does that mean it like is. When you've broken up with someone and you're single, you're having an outbreak of bisexuality?
Yeah.
It means you've got to constantly be telling people. Like every time you meet someone, you're like, just so you know, I'm bisexual.
Yes.
Let me explain what this means.
Yes. Can never be cured, but I have a cream. Yes.
There are some misconceptions about what this means for our relationship. Let me clear those up for you.
Yeah.
It's very treatable.
You can't catch it if I'm not experiencing a bisexual outbreak.
Right. Right.
But be careful. If you're within 200 feet during that time, you will catch it.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
But that's only for one day during the entire year.
Yeah. That's Bi Visibility Day when everyone can see us.
Exactly. The one day. Now, we've actually got some messages in.
Yeah, we do. Alan from Altona, you've
love you, Alan.
Messaged us before. We do love Alan.
Should I say before? What did he say? What did he say?
Shouldn't all spies be bisexual, including James Bond? I think yes.
He is.
Is he?
Well, there's been like kind of queer hints at James Bond since Casino Royale. Mads Mikkelsen kind of strips him down and that's a thing. And
that's
then
hot.
It's quite hot. And then in the recent one, I'm not sure who plays the villain, but you know, he puts his hand up James Bond's leg and, you know, and James Bond's just like, you think this is my first time? And he's like, oh. I'm just like, yes.
All spies are bi.
Absolutely.
Well,
Xavier Barden, thank you. That was the ever helpful Andy, who's our producer. Thank you.
Thanks,
so much,
Andy. There's a cartoon called Archer. Do you guys know Archer?
Yes. Everyone see that cartoon? Oh, it's great. It's on Netflix.
Effing hilarious. It is on Netflix, and they have one episode in which Archer has to. He's on a honeypot.
For a guy.
And he comes out dressed all in pink with roller skates on.
Booty shorts, bleaches his hair, has a lollipop, little halter top.
Love it.
It's just ridiculous.
I mean, and the guy who he's trying to honeypot thinks it's ridiculous.
Yeah, he's just like, you are so not gay.
You're trying so hard.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
He doesn't think he's not gay. It's just more like, you know, I'm more into manly guys.
Yeah. And he's like, but you're a poofter. How can you not be into that?
I know. Well, my outfit's going to be at next masquerade party.
Please.
Please. I'm going to be a bi spy.
That will get us. Oh, well, you know, I was thinking Carmen San Diego. Definitely bisexual.
Please, can she be? Yes, please.
I just look, honestly, I like to think that people who are open to. That being said, it does kind of, you know, carries the idea that we're, you know, we're slowly infiltrating areas. You know, we're subtly, secretly sneaking into areas and then taking them over.
Fine.
Which is, of course, the plan.
Fine.
No, there's no plan. There's no plan for the next
agenda.
Year.
We're just joking.
It's the same rules as Fight Club.
April 31st. I mean, what?
Do not talk about the gay agenda. Do not talk about the bi agenda.
They're all not existent.
No,
of course not.
Of course not. I'm so ready for my new iPhone 3 because I converted that girl here.
I was going to say, firstly though, iPhone 3, you're just giving yourself away there as far as we're on 7 now, sweetheart. Where have you been?
Look, I come from the old days when you used to get a toaster oven if you converted enough. Yeah.
Yeah, they were the days.
I've got the old agenda. It's like from 1993. I really need to upgrade. Yeah.
That group's still going. Still giving them out too.
See, no, it's all digital now, guys.
I know.
You've got to get the e-newsletter.
Yeah.
But thank you, Alan. Like, honestly, I think I imagine a lot of spies would be expected to be able to perform bisexuality to an extent.
Put it on my CV.
In the skill where they're supposed to be able to approach anybody, you know, and they're supposed to be able to, and they may be asked to. I'm sure honeypots still happen. Mm. Honeypot, of course, refers to the idea of a spy using sexuality as a trick. So, you know, it was mostly with women, honestly, and became particularly big. The UK kind of popularized the term, I think, during the Second World War.
I think so, yeah.
With spies, you know, who would go out and sleep with the enemy to
like
get information.
Mata Hari apparently was a honeypot spy. Although there's conjecture about whether she actually existed or not, but yeah.
They're always, look, she's definitely bisexual then. There's conjecture whether she exists or not. You know, she's probably definitely a bi, only visible half the time. But yeah, look, I think, you know, you'd be expected to, as a spy, I think you're expected to be able to shed a lot of, you know, you're expected to be able to shed a lot of the boundaries that make you who you are. Mm. And one of those boundaries may be the gender you're attracted to. So if you, and like, as I think, you know, so being able to be like, well, I have to go after a person no matter what that person or who that person may be. So I think we have a lot in common. In fact, I think bisexuals would make great spies. I'm not sure what Australia's spy network is called. It's not like, you know, M15 or ASIO.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound as cool.
It doesn't. Yes. I am putting bisexual on my CV from now on. It's going to have actor, musician, singer, bisexual.
Yeah.
It's a skill set. I have a specific skill set.
On my Tinder profile, I have super bi as the first thing.
Yeah.
Which and it's a good thing because it weeds out, as Anthony was saying, it does weed out people's response because, you know, people will respond to that in a whole variety of ways. Some don't respond at all, or like, you know, I've had one person ask me, you know, about the show, you know, oh, you're on radio, you do a bi show, that's great, can I listen? And he listened to that and was like, oh,
no,
I really agree with you about this visibility thing. And then another guy again, that's hot.
Yeah. You know how Superman rips his shirt open?
Yes.
His chest is, he's got the big S. I think a bit B. Yeah,
B-I.
That's
just
me.
A little eye. I need a little B-I.
Little eye.
Yeah. In fact, we should do a photo shoot in which we're all just stripping off our shirts and we have a big B-I on our
And then, of course,
boob.
We disappear because we're invisible. And that's the superpower, guys. We're actually infiltrating even as we speak.
Well, the second message that we have is from Meredith from Carlton. Hi, Meredith.
Meredith. How are you going?
Oh, by the way, if you do want to text in.
You can message us on 0427 569 949. You can email us at onair@joy.org.au. You can also message us with the Joy app, which is available on iTunes because technology is a wonderful thing. And you can reach us on Facebook at Triple Bypass on Joy. You can also email us at triplebypass@joy.org.au and we'll be able to answer any questions you have later on in the next show.
Yeah. The second message is, when you come out as bi, do people interpret it as gay?
Oh, Meredith, you've been listening to this show long enough.
You should
know
the answer to
that
question.
It depends on what gender you are.
Well, yeah.
Well, yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay. My mother died 2 years ago today, so it's been a particularly hard day for me, but I've also been thinking a lot about really, really hilarious things that my mother has done concerning my sexuality over the past 20 years. Bless her soul. When I first came out to her, I didn't really have a flair for occasion at the time. I was 18. I was a bit young and stupid. It was at my great aunt's funeral.
That is flair.
It is flair. Look, okay.
Not going to mind you one-upping it because she was dead.
Because she's dead. My relationship with my mother in my childhood and adolescent years and much into my early 20s was very volatile. So it was a case of, I need to be in a place where I know there's lots of people around, where I know I'm going to be safe, because mum was a little bit fisty at times. That sounded so wrong.
Yep.
That sounded really wrong.
Your mum had a bit of... Are you saying she had a temper?
She had a temper, yes.
Yeah, cool.
Yes. So I felt that I needed to be in an environment in which I knew I'd be safe. But I tell her, I'm like, Mum, I have something to tell you. She's like, what? Okay, I'm bisexual. She sits for a minute. She goes, your father put you up to this, didn't he? I'm like, Look, because my father's a big old gay man. Really, if he was going to put me up to anything concerning my sexuality, he'd say, go penis.
Yeah, right.
Just go with the penis and stay with the penis for the rest of your life, because penis like is great.
See, no, my dad was just, when I mentioned I had a girlfriend, he's like, oh my God, that means you're not going to get pregnant. That's fantastic. You know, I was 17. He's just like, huge weight off his mind.
Yeah.
But then, like, I went back home 10 years later, and I was dating a girl at the time who had a bit of a problem with the drugs. But I'm talking to my mum, and she's trying really, really hard at this point, but she still had a bit of an issue with it, because it obviously reflections of my dad, and she and my dad didn't get on very well. But she was like, so how's Dana? Now, my dad's good, Mum. She's really good, actually. She's yes. How long have you been together now?
Yes, those pauses.
2.5 years, Mum. Oh, so it's serious. Flash forward another 10 years. I take my now wife back home to New Zealand to propose to her. And we do the proposal, and Chrissy says, yes, thank F for that. So we go to my mum's that night, because mum knew I was going to propose and wanted us to come over. And so we came over, and she had a cup of teas out, because my mum was not a drinker. Mm-hmm. So she thought she'd make us a pot of tea.
Oh, that's nice.
Chrissy comes through the door and goes, hi, Mom. And my mother, bless her heart and her soul so much, just grabbed Chrissy in a massive bear hug and said, welcome to the family, my love. And was just the most awesome mother-in-law.
That's lovely.
That is lovely.
From then on. So is this huge progression from your father put you up to this and you're going to go to hell, all the way through to actually embracing my wife and saying welcome to the family. And before she died, she said to me, I can go now feeling good about the fact that I can leave you in Chrissy's hands and you'll be taken care of.
That's lovely.
That's really lovely.
That is a lovely story. And that really speaks to, I mean, the process, the journeying that our family members go through. But when we come out, we've done so much work to get there and to be able to disclose it to people that our families, by the time they hear that news, they're all the way back there where we were a long time ago.
Like their journey's just started. And like, honestly, if anyone who's listening has had issues with family drug use, you can call 1-300-660-0068 for family drug help, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, just in case. But, you know, my issue, my mum is very accepting, but she also has this habit of calling my brother, whenever my brother and I have same-sex partners, they're our good friends, or our special friends.
At least they're special.
At my brother's 21st birthday, him and his boyfriend had been together for a few years. She goes, Sam and his special friend, Walter. And like, you know, she knows Walter's his boyfriend. Like, we know what, but it was still just like, wait, what?
Yes.
Mum, you know that they're not just friends, right? Like, that special lube in the bathroom wasn't a friendship.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, we've got a message. Oh, from Jade. And
Hi, Jade.
Also, firstly, Jade, thank you so much for recommending American Idiot. That was Jade's recommendation.
Thanks, Jade.
Because
thanks,
Billy is bi. What a hero.
Billy is bi. Bye, Billy.
And she says, hi, sweethearts. I think you're right about bicultural being bisexual, and so is biracial mixed, and so is bigendered. Too many bis there.
So many bis.
So I think you're right about bicultural being bisexual and biracial, and so is bigendered. I think the sum is greater than its parts, and the sum becomes an entity in its own right. Love the show. Love you, Jade.
Well said, Jade. Well said.
You're really awesome.
Absolutely. And I think it's the same. It's a similar thing, because if you are between worlds, if you're, whether that's bisexual or biracial or bigendered, you start to realize that the boundaries between those worlds are not as definite as they may seem to people who are only on one side of
it. There could be some freedom in that, but there's also some, it could be fairly restricting as well.
It is restricting. I think any kind of barriers are restricting.
Yes. I think fluidity is very scary for a lot of people.
Well, I think a lot of bi things are very scary for a lot of people.
Yeah.
We're going to go to a song, and this one is for Christina's mum.
This is for my mum. This was a song by a New Zealand band called Netherworld Dancing Toys. And my mother used to call the music that my brothers and I listened to as bam bash music, because it went.
What was that? Well, you're into a bypass.
But she, this was one of her favourite songs, so this is for my mum.
Yeah, they were by noises.
That's right, and you're on Joy. That's right, this is Joy 94.9, and you're listening to Triple Bypass.
You are, and I'm Anthony.
I'm Christina.
And I'm Ruby. We're almost at the end of our show. Thank you so much for listening in. Well, of course, we'll be back next week, but we've been discussing all sorts of things. We've gone over climate change. We've gone over Billy Armstrong and how fantastic it is that he's bisexual. One of us. We've talked about Christina's mum. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that, by the way. That was really lovely. I've talked about Tinder. And how also, so this Tinder is fantastic for bisexuals because you can say when you pick who you want to talk to. I think it's actually fantastic for any kind of dating because it is more dating than it is like sex now. I think it may have started off for that. But you can say, you know, do you want a profile to be seen by men, women or both?
You know, I wouldn't mind giving it a go, but you have to fill out so many questions, don't you?
No, you really don't. This is, again, not OkCupid. This is just, you fill out a few pages, you've got to pick five photographs.
A few pages?
No, a few words. You can write, words, people write nothing. Again, I've written,
Anthony doesn't read, remember?
pictures.
Well, plenty of those. And like, some people don't have profiles at all, but the profiles can be like, you know, three words or five words.
I like girls and boys.
Yes.
That's five.
Yeah. Perfect.
I think Anthony can count, though.
Only five.
My profile is super bi, fast-talking, strong-minded, huge nerd, radio political as fuck.
Nice.
Fantastic. I feel like that's a pretty good idea. So, you know what you're getting into, basically. And I feel like that's what it is. It's like, I don't want people to... I feel that with an online profile, you have to give a bit of an idea of who you are, just a bit, so they, you know, when you meet them, you have some idea if you're actually going to have anything in common.
Mm.
I think one of the issues I still have with online dating is that, you know, people tend to assume that I'm physically attracted to you, so that it'll all go well. It's like, well, do we have literally anything to talk about?
I wonder if the most contentious thing about the profile is the bi bit.
So far only one person's actually commented on it.
Okay.
I put bi on everything. I've got bi as my thingy on Facebook. I've got bi as my thingy on Instagram. If I have Twitter, which I do have Twitter, but I don't use it because I don't understand it, it would say bi as well.
Right.
And my Tinder profile would probably be bisexual AF. Loves cats. If you don't like cats, don't come near me.
So, you know, you just sell that because you just have a picture of your cat. Like, that's all you need to do. A picture's worth a thousand words.
I have three cats. If you can handle three cats, then okay. Furnace as fuck.
Yep.
Actor, so don't ask me to get a real job.
Yeah.
What would you have?
I live in such a different world. I'm on Grindr. I'm just sup.
And so, you know, I suppose.
I mean,
of course. You
anything are. More than that on Grindr, and they are going past you. Sup, here's my penis. Sup, bye.
It's so funny because, like, on OkCupid, people write like hundreds of words about who they are, and people try to find points of interest. But because there's no filter on who can contact you, even if someone has taken the time to go through your profile and read your interests, it's just lost in the flood of bullshit.
Yeah. So if you're on Grindr and you're like, Anthony, he likes sup. Yeah. I like sup.
Sup. Just that left pectoral.
No faces, because, you know, why show your face?
I'd show my pussy, you show your pec. This is great.
That's not an equal trait. Someone's getting robbed, and I think it's the pussy.
My cat's getting so robbed.
All
anyway.
Right. Well, we do have to wind up, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll, of course, be back next Tuesday.
Thank you all to our guests for messaging in, our listeners.
We love you. Thank you, Jade. Thank you,
Alan.
Thank you,
Altona. Thank you, Altona. The entire suburb of Altona. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Thank you for first. Also, I won't be here next week. I'll be at Pussy Riot. So without me, guys.
But we'll have a special show. So tune in next week for Triple Bypass.
Thanks for joining us. You're on Joy. This was Triple Bypass.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.